And we want to thank everybody who has come tonight. Delightful to see the hall so packed. And we're glad that you were able to come and hear both of us tell how we got saved tonight. Now, it is not that Mr. Orzok needs longer to tell how he got saved than I do, because he doesn't. We both can tell it in the same amount of time. But the events leading up to him getting saved would be much more than in my experience, and you have that in the Bible. In John chapter 4, you read of a woman, and the Lord Jesus goes to quite length to tell us of how she was brought to know him as Savior. Others had that moment when they simply reached out and touched the hem of his garment. So the important thing is to have that link with Christ. And that's what we're here to talk about tonight, and tell you how we were saved. Remember the ministry meeting here tomorrow, Sunday afternoon rather, at 3:30. The gospel meeting's continuing each night. We're going into our fourth week. God has been pleased to work in salvation, for which we are grateful. And there are others yet that God is speaking to. And if this is your first time to a gospel meeting, our first time in this hall, we thank you very much for coming and trust that the meeting and the testimonies will be a blessing to you. Shall we speak to the Lord in prayer? Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we bow and thank thee tonight for the truth of the death of Christ. We thank thee that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And the apostle could say, of whom I am chief. And the man that could say, of whom I am chief, is the man with the same pen who could say, there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so, our Father, from the most refined gentleman in this meeting tonight to the roughest man we could find, and likewise with a lady, their need is a Savior tonight. It is not another church, another religion, or more of it. They need Christ. And we thank thee, our Father, for everyone in this meeting tonight that is saved, that can tell how, when, and where that God saved them. They could say, of whom it is said of Zacchaeus long ago that he received him. Thy word tells us, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Father, we just pray at this time for the Warnock family in a special way. Think of our brother Harold and commend him to thee. And Betty at this time in the hospital, and Colin as well. And pray the richest blessing of God upon them. May they know, Lord, in this hour of such sickness and turmoil within their family, the Lord standing by them. We think of our sisters Angie and Nellie, and commend them to thy tender care. We think of that dear widow back in Moncton, New Brunswick tonight. Patty, we commend her to thee. We think of the recent home call of our brother Bobby Morton. Our Father, we just commit them to thee. And now look to thee for this time before us and ask thy blessing in the Savior's name. Amen. I'm going to read one verse with you tonight. One verse with you or to you, and that is in Luke's Gospel chapter 19. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, and verse number 10. Luke 19 and verse number 10 says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Let me read the verse again. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." I was born into a Christian home. Now, let me say, in case you do not understand what I mean by a Christian home, that is a mother and a father that both could tell me how that they were saved and they were going to heaven. Have you been able to tell that to your children? That's a Christian home. A Christian home is just not a refined home in North America or any other country. It is a home where parents are saved. I have that kind of a home. I respected my parents, and I do to this day, very, very deeply. I'm the oldest of six children. My parents were not always Christians. They came in contact with the gospel, and both could tell me, and many times I would ask my mother and father individually. Sometimes with my father, I can remember occasions when we would be going down the road. We were raised in a farm in southwestern Ontario, near St. Thomas, Ontario, and I can remember many times asking my dad to tell me how he got saved. And he could tell me how God saved him. My mother likewise. Now, having been brought up in a home like that, what made our home maybe different from other homes was this. Not only did we live on a farm, and my father was in the Air Force and had got out and started with very, very limited capital farming. And times were tough, and I can remember when times were tough. I can remember him borrowing money to put gas in an old army truck to take us what we called meeting, which was the breaking of bread in the Lord's Day morning, the Sunday school in the afternoon, or the gospel meeting at night. There's a lot of things that we couldn't afford, and we were told very plainly that we couldn't afford them. But there was one thing there was always money for, and that was whatever was needed to take his family to hear the gospel preached. If it was an hour, even to an hour and a half, meetings were within that area, we were there. Everything revolved around that little company of Christians that met above a drugstore at that time, maybe 20 or 25 of them. I could see the reality of that in my parents' life. Nothing stopped them from going to meeting. Snowstorms, it would not matter. I can remember a tractor with chains on it. No cab or any of those nice things that tractors have on them these days. Well, my mother steered the car and us children in it, being dragged through the snow with a chain out to the main highway on a Sunday morning, and we'd already been up early enough to... We were in a large poultry farm, fairly large at that time, 5,000 hens. And do chores, read and pray, all that attended to. More than that, be early for meeting. My father never got there late. Now you see, brother, why I'm here early? It's in my blood. It was so important to them. Now, my father never had to sit down and say, now this is what's important in our life. Never had to do that. Nor did he ever kind of push on to us what he believed. I had people used to tell me that my parents forced it on us. No, they didn't. And the other five in the family would tell you the same. I'll tell you what they did. They so lived before us children that we wanted what they had. As long as I could remember, I wanted to be saved. I wanted to know my sins were forgiven. I wanted to know I would never be in hell. Don't you want to know that? That's all that mattered to me. Of course, being brought up in a home like that, I realized that I was a very privileged boy, and along with that, I felt that maybe I was a notch above others, and that not only did I need to be saved, but surely God would deal with me maybe on a different ground than he did others. Hard for me to understand that I had to come to the same place where there was no difference. I can remember sitting in gospel meetings and coming out, the Christians would be so happy because someone had gotten saved. One time it was a neighbor who lived not too far from us, and she had gotten saved. I thought, how come it wasn't me? How come I didn't get saved? How is it you're not saved tonight, friend? Anyhow, this went on, and like I say, we went to gospel meetings, where there were meetings, we were there. One time in particular, it was at the Sarnia Conference. I was in that conference of likely 400 to 500 people. I always look forward to the conferences because I happen to have 67 first cousins. So, kind of a good time to get together. I wasn't really interested in the conference, but that Sunday night in the gospel meeting, and I do not remember so much what the men spoke on. I really don't. But I came home from that meeting with this in my mind. I have got to get this settled. I want to be saved, and tonight. Tonight. Not tomorrow night, tonight. As I walked out of that hall, that conference, there was a table and the tracts were on them, and just like the gospel papers are at the back of this hall, I took all I could get my hands on. Went home. Now here's the boy that thought he knew how to get saved. I couldn't get saved. Couldn't believe. Sadly, didn't know what to do. Didn't know where to start. One of the tracts that I'd received was titled, Lost, Lost, Lost. Three times the same word, lost. That's your condition tonight if you're not saved. You're lost, because this Bible says it. That's the kind that he came to seek and to save. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And I was up there in that bedroom. I read three quarters through that tract, and I gave up. I thought, I can't get this. And the horror literally took hold of me. I may never get it. And God doesn't have to save me. And if I die, I will go to hell. I just closed the track. I can remember putting it back up on the little bench there beside my bed. And I thought, well, I'll finish reading the track. And I went back and I picked it up. And the first verse I read was Luke 19 and 10. That's the verse I read to you tonight. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Hey, I'm the lost one. I'm the one that he has come to seek and to save. I got up and I thought, I'm going to go down and tell my mom and dad. But I knew dad would have some questions, and I thought, I want to be sure about this. My friend, we want you to be sure tonight too. Because it isn't salvation unless you're sure. And you're only sure of it because you've got the Word of God for it. I went right back. I was going to go down. I can remember yet coming to that. My brother and I slept up in the attic of the house. And we come along, and there's a trap door going downstairs. I remember yet going to get it. I thought, no, I will go back, and I'll have a look at the Bible. Went back, and I read the same verse of the Bible. I thought, okay, I'm going to go down, and I'll face Dad. Not that I was afraid of him. I know he would be glad to hear it. I went down, went into the kitchen. I can remember yet my parents were sitting at the table with a neighbor lady that had gotten saved. And I stepped into that kitchen, and I said, I want to tell you that I just got saved. I can remember yet my mom started to cry, and my dad, well, I was pretty emotional myself, and my dad said, well, that's good to hear. He said, how did it happen? So I kind of told him how it happened. Remember, he looked up at me and he said, well, that's good. He said, your mom and I are really glad to hear that. And he said, Murray, if you're really saved, he says, your life will prove it. He said, we're going to get down on our knees and pray. That same kitchen that we got down on our knees and prayed for so many times that us children were prayed for. He thanked God for coming in and saving me. Not only has God saved me, he has saved the whole six children. The two younger ones were saved after I went into the work in gospel meetings I was having. So God has blessed our family richly in salvation. And my friend tonight, were I never to see another soul saved in my life, I will owe my life to God for his mercy in coming in and saving me. I know I'm saved tonight. I know I'm going to heaven. I know that if I never see that home and family that I love so much back in the Maritimes, if I never reach the other side of the Rockies, I know this, I will be in heaven. My sins are forgiven. Christ is my Savior.